Welcome to Beyond Leading, the podcast that cuts through the noise to get real about leadership, team dynamics, personal growth, and the messy, brilliant reality of work, life, and everything in between. Each episode brings grounded insights, sharp truths, and honest conversations with experienced leaders and coaches as we explore what it really takes to lead well today. We don't deal in one-size-fits-all answers. We spark ideas, offer grounded perspectives, and create space for you to work out what fits your world. So let's get into it. Welcome to this episode of Beyond Leading. I'm thrilled to be joined by Tiffany David and Graham DeCosta, along with myself, Alec Pearson. In this episode, we're diving into one of the most talked about, yet often oversimplified areas of leadership, that of emotional intelligence. But we're not here just to define it. We want to challenge how you think about emotional intelligence, how your unique style, personality, and approach shape the way you use it every day. The reason being is that emotional intelligence, or EQ for short, isn't one size fits all. It's not just about recognizing emotions, it's about how you respond, how you lead, and how you connect with others. Let's explore EQ beyond the buzzword. So let me open up. Welcome, Tiffany and Graham. What are your thoughts when we talk about EQ?
I think for me, I am just very aware that EQ is one of those, as you mentioned, just often overused buzzwords that not a lot of people understand. And it almost sounds like one of those HR initiatives that people sort of their shoulders slump and they go, oh, forgot to go to an EQ, you know, what used to be called a sensitivity training. And I think that we're really missing the mark on how emotional intelligence is used by all of us every day. And we should just explore a little bit more about what does that mean to how we sort of take in information and communicate back. So I think it's, as you mentioned, it is an often misunderstood, overused but misunderstood term.
Yeah, I second all of that, really. And I think it is one of those, you know, the HR community, whilst it does a huge amount of good, I think one of the things which has always bugged me for years is the fact that it's, you know, let's put a label on it and it's, that's all right, you know, and we can gloss over it and that label becomes flavor of the month until they can think of another label to go down. And something like EQ, what we're doing ourselves, and emotional intelligence. Yeah, it's an important subject, but I think the angle that we're taking, and I would say this, wouldn't I? I think the angle we're taking on actually talking about it is better than just giving some other definition, which you can Google and get loads of definitions anyway. So I think, yeah, the practicality of it, but I think, you know, it's not just in HR, to be fair. It's in all life, isn't it? We're all trying to put a label on something. It's, oh, once you've got a label, then that makes it okay. Mm. And, you know, so yeah, I think this delving in at a, you know, at a more, well, at a level in terms of, well, how do our unique styles, how does that affect it? Then I think that's for the good.
We mentioned here about key in as a skill that we use, but what do you see are the top skills that we should be concentrating as leaders when it comes to EQ?
I'll always start with self-awareness. There's probably not a lot of questions, Alec, that you could ask about leadership that I wouldn't start with self-awareness. But I think particularly in light of emotional intelligence, you have to sort of understand what your triggers are, your style of communicating, what input points are important to you. And I know that I don't want to jump ahead, but I know that we're talking about, you know, some people in terms of learning styles are better auditory learners, or some are experiential, some enjoy sort of reading, and maybe a combination of any of those. But I think that EQ is very much the same, that we pick up on cues differently in terms of input. But before even the cues that you might get from external sources, the person you're talking to, the meeting, your boss, your teammate, whoever, a client, you first sort of say, how am I showing up? What am I even bringing to this conversation? What am I bringing in sort of a bad morning? Did something happen? Or last night, am I dragging that in? Am I just in a bad mood? You know, all of those sort of, again, that idea of label that Graham so aptly brought up is, you know, this mood thing. Well, moods are usually sort of, you know, baggage from something that's happened. So I think that really before you can think about how to apply yourself to emotional intelligence, you have to start with self-awareness. You have to sort of ask those questions about how you're showing up today.
And interesting you mention about self-awareness, because there's a really interesting statistic that comes from Belbin that suggests globally only 15% of us are actually self-aware. And it's interesting when I talk to my clients and you come up with, you know, the exact point you raised. How did you bring yourself into work today? How were you feeling? And actually, sometimes we're not even thinking about that. We're just on autopilot and we're just going through the day, but we're not thinking about, well, how we come across and how we show up, the impact that can have on others.
I'd agree. And the only other two things I'd say, and you know, this, we know this from coaching point of view. I think, you know, when you were saying about what other skills does a leader need? Curiosity and an open mind are the two that always I would come to mind. If people are naturally curious, so that and they're open-minded, they're not just sort of want to, it's, well, this is way I think, this is what I, you know, what's going on, so it's right, as opposed to naturally being curious to find out, well, why are other people reacting, or why they said things in a certain way. And to be open-minded, that especially from a leader point of view, your view does not necessarily have to be the only view.
Absolutely. So just on that, and I'll let the listeners know, one of the reasons we brought this topic up is that actually Graham, Tiffany and I had a very interesting conversation about emotional intelligence, and it actually came about our style and how we as coaches use emotional intelligence with our clients. Tiffany, can I start with you? What is your style? I mean, what could people learn about your approach or style to emotional intelligence?
Well, I'll tell you what's important to me, and then I might actually share with you a trigger that can really set me off, and maybe your listeners will be able to relate, maybe not, I don't know. But what's really important to me is eye contact. I think it's really, you know, a Zoom meeting, a in-person meeting, it doesn't matter if I have your eyes, at least occasionally. I don't want to be stared down because that's a little bit intimidating. But if I have, you know, if I'm making a point and I've got your eyes on me, that I know, I suppose my brain just says they're engaged and they're paying attention and you're being heard and you're being seen. So that's really important to me. Where your eyes go, I think your attention goes. And I suppose, you know, my trigger that might go with that as well is, if somebody is not sort of acknowledging that I'm in the room or that I am saying something and sort of glosses over, maybe dismisses it, that is my trigger. That's sort of makes me angry. Definitely makes me angry, because then I feel like, oh, I just don't matter. You know, it's that idea of just don't matter. I don't mind if you disagree or if you have counterpoint, but I am here and I do have a voice and I want to matter. So I think that, to me, those two things are incredibly important. Just recognition, but eye contact first.
Graham.
It's an interesting one. I think I've mellowed over the years, but especially when I was younger, I've always been quite, or people would describe me as being quite forceful, or they would know when I'm in a room. And I think the way I've turned that into, I'm incredibly patient, unbelievably patient, and I don't, you know, without even, so. when you're talking about some of those triggers, Tiffany, I don't really have much triggers. There aren't many things that get me annoyed. In fact, the only thing I can think of that gets me annoyed is being stuck in a traffic jam when I need to get somewhere quick. So I'm quite, and that's not trying to put me on a pedestal, aren't I wonderful? It's not that. It's just that, yeah, and as I mentioned earlier, the curiosity, open mind, yeah, eye contact, I think is massively important. One of the reasons why, even now, when I'm doing a coaching chemistry session, I will want to have that meeting face to face. And interestingly, my success rate after a chemistry meeting, if it's face to face, is far like almost like, almost, I wouldn't, it's not 100%, but let's say it's 90 plus percent. When it's online, it's nowhere near as high as that, which is interesting because I find it harder to read where they're coming or what their eyes are doing. We can all see, but all of us, we're wearing glasses. It's hard to see what's going on. So I pick up far more face to face. But yeah, I suppose that's from my style and the patience. As I said, if you ask me what's a trigger to get me against, and I would find that really, really difficult. And maybe I should have some triggers. Maybe I should react a bit more. But I just, sort of just patient and calm, and just. And I suppose I also view that it's all about energy, really. I don't waste my energy on things that I can't control. So if I can't control something, then don't worry about it. So I don't worry about many things that I can't control. I worry if there's something I can control and therefore do something about it. If that makes sense.
I just make an observation there, Alec, before you move on? I just want to say, I think all of us, for your viewers, will see that we have different styles of communication. And when Graham was just talking about, not having, triggers and, sort of, just he engages his body language. Graham, I'm sorry, I'll talk to you. Your body language has so much energy. Your hand movements, like you were there. I can't imagine being able to ignore you. You are just there, and he leans forward, you lean forward and you talk and you're expressive in your hands. And that's very much your style. So I do think that that is a difficult energy to ignore, and that's great. I think that's wonderful. My communication style is maybe a notch or two down from that. And again, I think that certainly in my experience, sometimes the energy you give is the energy that you get back.
Do you know that's a really interesting point because it leads me on to a question I was going to follow up with Graham to say, you mentioned there your chemistry calls, you have more success typically face to face. Is there something that you also or maybe need from others that you get on a face to face that you don't get over Zoom or Teams as an example?
I've never been able to work out why, but when I'm face to face, people seem to open up a lot quicker than to me than they do on Zoom. So, and some we all know that on a lot of our coaching, even if it's on a corporate, sort of target thing, there would be some personal issue that's going on or something that's happening. I find that, face to face, those come up much, much quicker than when they're on Zoom. Now, I don't know why that is. I'm not a psychologist, thankfully, but I've no idea why that might be. But I certainly have recognised it, and that intrigues me. And I thought, well, okay, it intrigues me, but as long as it happens, then I don't need to. If I knew why it was happening, then maybe I'd be forcing it, and so therefore I don't want to do that. But it's certainly something I notice.
But is that then related to your body language? Because I'm looking at you now, we're recording this on Zoom, and I can just see the top of your shoulders. I'm not getting the full
You've
grin
seen what my legs are doing.
presence. Yeah. No, I don't want to know. But is it something about your full body language that's actually, as Tiffany mentioned, drawing that energy and making people feel at ease? Which, because we're only getting half of you on Zoom, you know, we know you, so it's easier for us, but for others.
It may be, but it's interesting. It's the things you've learned. So, I'm a fidget. I move around a lot. You know, I find it hard to just be sat down. And I'm conscious when I'm doing presentations in particular, but the amount of times over the years I've been asked, Graham, can you stop moving around? I'm feeling sick just by following you because I'm walking all over the place because I think as I move. I know that's what I do. So, you know, so if you strap me down and asking me stuff, you know, I find that quite, you know, well, more difficult, let's put it that way, if that's good English. But walking around. So if I'm working at home by myself and something is, you know, just I'm really thinking, all of a sudden I might think, why am I in the kitchen? You know, I was upstairs working. What am I doing down here? I wouldn't even know. I just would naturally just or subconsciously just go off and move. Now then, why? I don't know. But yes, I think that's a good point. Coming back to your point, Alec, in terms of, maybe that is one of the things. They're not picking up from me as much about my personality, and I'm certainly not getting as much back from them.
So would you just, so we've got energy, but is there also a kind of I'm going to say touchy-feely approach to you, but I'm not saying you're touching someone directly, but it's just that way it comes across, which helps.
A whole different HR lesson about that.
Yeah.
Well, no, and it's something that I have to be, you know, that I am conscious about, you know. So, yes, my style would be very much, I am sort of, you know, naturally, I'm a natural hugger, let's put it that way. So I would, yeah, so, and there are times where I might touch somebody, I don't mean inappropriately, I might put my arm on their shoulder or whatever. I'm not even conscious of it.
What is it you need from others that you feel helps you get more success when you're with someone face to face versus via Zoom or Teams?
I think I'm just more aware of their reactions. So at the moment, as you said, you can only just see my head and shoulders. Tiffany, I can see her shoulders. And like, you're not seeing the rest of the body. And although I think I sort of joked earlier about the fact that you've no idea what my legs are doing, but you haven't. But when you're there in person, if they're fidgeting around, then you know, or you can see that they're, maybe it's just the style of cameras I use. I use the laptop camera. But if you see a changing color or if their pupils are dilating or whatever, you know that you're, okay, well, what's that about? It's sort of, you know, it's that curiosity piece. So I just think it allows me to be, to read them, for want of a better expression, a little better. And maybe that then allows me to then open or ask other questions that makes them feel comfortable because they're thinking, well, actually, he's getting me here, isn't he?
But do you feel when you have that information that you crave, that you want, does that maybe change the way you act? As in, you're not getting that information maybe that you want over Zoom and Teams, but actually you get that face-to-face, stronger EQ coming from the recipient, and actually it's filling your need, your wants as a person.
And is that the reason why face-to-face I'm far more successful on those chemistry meetings than I am over Zoom?
Yeah.
Perhaps. I don't know is the honest answer. I don't know. I think it's a great hypothesis. that's for sure. Maybe I need to think about that. You know, because it's not that I don't get any work from online chemistry meetings. And this recent client I've had, they were all online, and I was given four people to talk to, and they all wanted to continue the relationship. So that was great, but It was a very work specific things that, though that they were talking about. That's an interesting point, Ali. I don't know is the real honest answer. I'll be aware of that. Moving forward, just try and find out. Well, what is that? What am I doing? I know you asked the question. If I'm getting that from somebody, what is that allowing me to do? And so yeah, the opposite of that. So if I'm not getting that from them, I can't read. Am I not being as another incredibly overused word, authentic with them, or that it's not coming over as authentic? Maybe I stop moving around as much, and I'm not. I know that I'm not thinking as much, or whatever.
Tiffany, what would you add to that? What was your thoughts?
Well, I think that, I really enjoy Graham's energy, and I know that, if I were to sort of meet with Graham in a business situation, if I was the leader, for example, and Graham came in and we were meant to have a conversation, maybe it was a difficult conversation. And, if I were to assume that, he'd rather be somewhere else, and that's why, and he moves around and he's got this energy. Maybe I'm boring him. It's the assumptions that leaders make about the other person's state of mind, how they're taking in information, how we're interacting. It's the assumptions, of course, that get us into trouble. So if I understand, oh, what Graham is asking me for is perhaps to meet his energy on some level. And maybe that's more direct eye contact, maybe that's more hand gestures. Maybe that's me sort of quickening my pace of speech or doing something with my pitch. All of those things can be a way to sort of honor, that energy across the table from me and sort of, collaborate, just, go back and forth a little bit differently. And I think that's it, the ability to pivot and understand without judgment how the other person is showing up and perhaps meet it in a way that is still comfortable and accomplishes what you're trying to do.
So actually linking this back to leadership, a key learning or a key consideration there is, are we changing our style or pivoting, as you say, to each member of our team or the people maybe even out with our team who we typically interact with at different occasions, and actually how important that is. And do we go into autopilot too much? Because again, linking this back to self-awareness, we're really not thinking about how we're coming across or what's going on. We just go and do. So we're not maybe getting the best out of relationships because we're not thinking, well, right, this person A needs this from me, person B needs that. We just treat everyone the same. And it doesn't
And that,
typically work.
sorry, and that's the rigidity that I think is the death knell for leaders, saying two things. One, this is the way it's always been done. Two, that's just the way I am. That's just rigid thinking. It doesn't allow for any sort of give. And, to Graham's, again, I agree, authentic, overused. But if I am true to my message, true to my intent, then why not sort of meet somebody else's energy? Why not focus on those things that they will hear in the way that you hope they hear them? So I think that there is a level of be yourself, but also be smart about the way you communicate and pick up those cues so you're getting your message across and you're receiving their message as well.
And I think, and the only thing I'd come back on, one of the things you were saying earlier, Alec, was about, if I don't get that from somebody, well, actually, I don't, in the nicest possible way, I'm not going in wanting something from them. So if somebody came into one of my meetings and they wore dark sunglasses so I couldn't see their face, it wouldn't bother me. I'd be intrigued and interested why they wanted to do that. But I'm not looking for something from them. I'm just trying to sort of, build up that rapport or to get them to be open. That's all. But, when you first meet somebody, how do you know they're being open? Now sometimes you
Very
can
good point.
match the body language with with the actual verbal language that they're using. But so I'm not specifically looking for something, which I go back. So from a leader's point of view, why do certain leaders, they want certain things? And there are certain, one particular world leader who will remain nameless, unless you go in and sort of say, gosh, you're fantastic, and it's the greatest day of my life. He's not going to like you. So I think there is a very much, that difference in the EQ point of view is, you're just open. I am who I am. And I think it's around the confidence thing. So obviously I like people to like me, but if they don't like me, I don't care. It doesn't bother me. Now I know some people, that's no, I'm not saying I'm better or worse.
Yeah.
It just doesn't bother me. I don't go looking for that. I don't need it. Tiffany was saying earlier, I don't need that affirmation from people. It's lovely when you get it, of course it is. But I don't, it doesn't, I'd like to think it doesn't affect me. And if somebody is being sort of, if I want to use the word disrespectful or whatever, and then okay, I just don't want anything to do with them. I'm quite black and white, probably too black and white in that sense. If that makes sense.
Yes, but in a leader, if you were in a, and I know you're not, but if you were in a, you're a leader and you were running a department, you need it. I mean, okay, there's a question about like and respect, and should a team member, is respect more important than likability? Some people would say yes, others would say no, but is there enough for them to follow you? Would you still have that persona or levels of EQ that they're still going to follow you?
I think it's interesting. If I go back in my career, I started off my career in banking. So I was one of those traditional bank managers all those years ago in England or whatever. And I remember the first branch I had to go and manage, it was bottom of every single league that the bank had. So it had the highest staff turnover, it had the lowest sales figure. Yeah, it was just the lowest deposit. Everything was low. Within 6 months, we became the top of every league. And I didn't change one single person. And I remember, it was a long time ago, I went in and it was for Barclays. I think I can use that. There are other banks available. And within Barclays, I was fairly young, and well, was young, but I went in. I remember my boss sort of said, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to stop them working for Barclays Bank and I'm going to get them to start working for Graham. Because if they work for me, they'll want to do it. Whereas this big mythical Barclays Bank, they're not. And that's actually what I did. And we were taught how to do, in those days, we were taught. So I had like 70 people. Now, those 70 people, I knew if they were married, what their partners' names were, etc. If they had children, I sort of understood. I could probably remember as many of them as possible. On a Friday, I always used to go around and say, "What are you doing this weekend?" And on a Monday morning, I would never ask them, "How was your weekend?" I would be specific. So, how did the football match go with Jimmy at the weekend? And it was just things like that. Now, as I said, Barclays were very good at teaching you how to do those things in those days. But that was the kind of approach. And I suppose I've sort of, although I've been running my own business for 30 years or whatever, just had that. And likewise, when we did have different permutations of Shine Feedback, where we did have some staff working for us, I had that same principle. And it was just getting, treating everybody as an individual, establishing, and they knew. So if I knew the name of their partner, if I knew the name of their kids, if they knew they were going swimming or playing football or at a party at the week, that was more important than actually, and I think I was just building up that, the trust or whatever. And probably the way my DNA is, it came across as authentic because I was genuinely interested in what they were doing.
So does that mean your principles and values actually drive your approach to EQ?
Probably.
And maybe that subconscious maybe is something we've never, I don't know, just put the two together.
It's one of the good things about you, Alec. You always have a different stage. Yes. I never thought of that. I think so. I think it is. I've always been quite sort of headstrong when I was younger, probably arrogant in terms of, you know, this is the way I'm going to work like this. I'm going to act like this. Yeah, my values, I won't compromise, et cetera, et cetera. You have to play things down.
You set your boundaries. So you've got your boundaries, your values and principles, and that drives your relationships with others.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, so one of my big things is, or big values around fun. You know, if I'm not enjoying it, I just won't do it. Now then, at times, as with any, if I overplay that fun, and at times I used to, I probably still do, but hopefully not as often as I used to. I just used to sort of, oh, hang on, this is a quite a heavy situation, right? Okay, well, I'll make fun of this, or, you know, and not make fun, but, you know, sort of, or say a joke or say something a little lighthearted, which hopefully was in the right frame of mind, but sometimes it was like, oh, that certainly was the wrong thing to say, you know, so you sort of learn from that. But yeah, I think it is all mixed in. And I suppose part of your values and being aware of all of that, it comes back to the point Tiffany was saying earlier about self-awareness. Mm. It's all part of that. You know, am I self-aware? I like to think I am. You know, and yeah, I think that's good question, Alec. Good, Greg. Good question.
Let me pass it to Tiffany. I'm just wondering if we've gone down another kind of path here that actually, because when I read a lot of information on emotional intelligence, it's typically about how you are, how you respond, how you deal with others. But actually, if we maybe scratch beneath the surface, there is more to this. And again, it links back to self-awareness and who we are as a person.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's sort of another layer, isn't it? The people are always sort of talking about work-life balance. And my pushback has always been, it's all life. And I think that it's about aligning your values in your professional life with the ones that you practice in your personal life. And when all that's aligned, you don't have to sort of wear those masks. And I think that is sort of, you know, when Graham's talking about actually genuinely being interested in the people that he works with, that comes across. And it's also aligned with his values. So he's not forcing something. He's not trying to be something he's not. This is just who he is. And I think that can change. I mean, I think, you know, we develop, what is it? We develop our character sort of by the time that we're 7 or 8 years old, but the traits and sort of how we show up, we have the ability to pivot and mold, you know, as we grow. So yes, I think that is another layer of emotional intelligence. If I am living my values and if I'm showing up as the person that I want to be in any situation, work included, as a leader, coworker, whatever, then I will be able to sort of engage on that level while picking up the cues. You know, and one of those cues, so I don't know, maybe this was part that I want to repeat, but my cues are very much verbal. I pick up words, have tremendous meaning with my clients and how I engage. Not to say that all of the other physical cues don't, but I tend to sort of, that's my laser focus. And Alec, you were talking about the space that you give for people to talk. And there's also, you know, if you've read anything about this thinking culture, giving people time to think, sometimes out loud.
Yes.
I think that's brilliant. I think that sometimes people sort of do circular thinking and they might come around to a decision that they didn't even realize had they been pushed to sort of say the right thing in a meeting, be decisive, do this, you know, and I think that's another valuable approach to sort of emotional intelligence. When do I just need to sort of not say or do anything?
The power of silence.
And I think it comes back, you know, we can link this back into some of the, you know, the personality preferences or the introversion, extroversion. So, yeah, I've been dealing with that, I suppose, for a number of years. So if I go into a room and I've got an introvert, it's relatively not, I wouldn't say it's easy, but you can pick up those traits if you've got an introvert in front of you. So therefore, I do try, coming back to some of the earlier conversations, I don't move around as much. I do try to draw back my energy because they're getting their energy, you know, internally. They don't want this is just going to sort of cloud their thinking if you've got this idiot moving around and shaking his hands, whatever. So it's a case of actually being able to adapt and recognize that I've got an introvert here. Okay, ask the question, be quiet. Mm. Chapter 10, very slowly. You never get past 8. But just being comfortable with doing with doing that kind of thing. So just being, you know, sort of recognizing. But I suppose self-awareness in terms of I know the impact I can have on those kind of people, but it's also awareness of different personality traits and and how you deal with that.
And get the best out of them.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. We're coming to the end. Tiffany, would you like, from your point, how would you sum up what your thoughts are?
Well, I think in the day and age that we're in right now, knowing that we are talking so much about neurodivergence and differences in sort of the way people react to stress, how they want to feel like they matter and contribute, I think that in all areas, not just leadership, just from a human perspective, we would be missing a trick if we didn't sort of have that curiosity that we've been talking about of how does this person want me to communicate with them? What would be the most effective? Because ultimately, you know, working together and being with other people and, you know, sort of seeing synergistically how we can make things better together is what it's all about. And I think, you know, feeling seen, heard, understood are some of the highest goals of human communication.
Graham.
It's interesting. I suppose the thing that I'm not stuck on, but the one that's really just making me think, and I've forgotten who said it was either Eric or maybe Tiffany, you know, so it's about being the person you want to be as opposed, you know, and part of me was thinking, going back to this overused words of authentic. Well, if I'm trying to, if I want to be like somebody or I want to have these special skills, yes, you can learn certain things, but should you not start off by, well, just be just who you are and understand who you are. And then once you've understood who you are and the positive things about that and the adverse things about that, then okay, then maybe that would give you a better idea of where to look and focus on to improve. But this thing about try to be who you want to be, I'm not a great lover of that, just because of the fact there are certain things you will never be. So, you know, if I want to be, if I want to be Lionel Messi, okay, well, I'm not going to be. You know, yeah. It doesn't mean I can't be better if I was interested, better at football or whatever. But actually, no, this is who I am. And I like to think that I bring, well, this is who I am. I'm very comfortable with who I am. Doesn't mean to say that I'm, you know, one of the things I was saying earlier about being open-minded as well as that curiosity. So, you can learn, but... And probably going back to the point that Tiffany was saying, it's the self-awareness thing is probably where it all starts. Do people understand who they are? And not just understand, are they comfortable with it?
Excellent point, yeah. I see a lot of clients, they're not comfortable with who they are.
No. So how can you be authentic? You know, and if it's authentic, it's, you know, this whole thing. Well, yeah, I'm going to be authentic and be this other person. Well, you're not being authentic then, are you? Be who you are and then learn and adapt and change and develop accordingly. But at least understand who you are. Yes, that can change over time. But some of those inner abilities or those inner traits, you won't change.
Be true to yourself.
Yeah, and I would just say one more point to that. Maybe this is another podcast, Alec, but I think that we can never use the excuse of I'm just being who I am if we are hurting other people, if we are acting inappropriately. And I have seen that, as I'm sure all of us have. That's not enough. That's a cop out. And I think that's not what I'm taking from what you're saying, Graham. It's more of I understand who I am, and this is what I value about it. But you know, we are talking, we're in a certain generation, and I think that this whole prefrontal cortex work of picking up social cues in person, we can translate to a virtual meeting much easier than I think some of the screen generation, if you will, who really don't have that experience with difficult conversations in person, maybe difficult conversations full stop. You know, we've heard of the text breakups, even the text firings. You know, what now do we need to sort of support this next generation when it comes to EQ, when it comes to social cues and things like that? Because I think that that's really important to be aware of how they show up as well.
I think that's an excellent point, and I think that is definitely something we need to look at in a future episode. Tiffany and Graham, thank you so much, and until next time.
All right. Thank you, Alec.
Great being here.
Thank you for listening to Beyond Leading. If this episode was useful, follow or subscribe so you don't miss the next one, and share it with someone who'd appreciate it. And if you've got a minute, a quick rating or review really helps more people find the show.